This week has been a heart-wrenching anniversary as we have watched televised memorials and read again about the lives of all of those who were devastated by last year's marathon bombing. The contrast of this tragedy and sadness of that event with the first flowerings of spring leaves us reeling a bit. Somehow, suffering in the midst of beauty feels like such a conundrum because, logical or not, we tend to associate beauty with goodness, not with tragedy. And yet, what those who suffered the greatest harm now, a year later, talk about is the gratitude they feel for the outpouring of love they have received. Losing a limb or two limbs could easily leave the best of us bitter and angry and despairing. But what we're seeing and hearing this week is something very different than that. What we're seeing is the resiliency of the human spirit, an amazing, miraculous resiliency. Once again, this year, Easter and Passover are being celebrated within just days of each other, and that is a minister's dream. Well, a Unitarian Universalist minister's dream. Because both stories, the resurrection and the Exodus, are touchstones of life's victories. But they're unique kinds of victories in that they're not victories of take-no-prisoner battles or fierce engagements or really even competitions. These victories are testaments to the human spirit, testaments to the creative force at work and its ability to win out over all that would deny life and light and air and breath and freedom and goodness and hope. And no wonder these traditions take place in springtime when the resiliency of the life force thaws frozen ground and brings the earth back to life again. There is an old New Yorker cartoon in which a husband and wife are sitting in their living room watching television. And the wife has turned to her husband with a mildly exasperated look on her face and says to him, "There is no score. No one's ahead. It's a love story." I think this cartoon is not just a joke poking good-natured fun at one gender's proclivity for sporting events over another. It's a message that says life does often feel like that, like a competition. But at heart, I do believe it's a love story. And I think that's why we're here on Easter Sunday morning. We come to hear that. I come to hear that. Who in this world doesn't need to hear a love story? The Israelites left their homes in Egypt and fled in the middle of the night because they loved life enough to risk everything to be free. They didn't know where they were headed or where they would eventually wind up, but they believed the promise of living free and breathing free air was worth whatever the cost might be. They died not such little deaths to the old life so that they might have a new and better life to come. And maybe it's a stretch to call Easter a love story, but wouldn't we say that Jesus died for love? Wouldn't we say that he loved life enough to risk his own life, to love his neighbor, to champion the marginalized, lay his hands on lepers, break bread with outcasts, heal the sick on the Sabbath, breaking the rules of both religious and secular authorities by putting people and people's needs over the too rigid laws of his own religion. That kind of love scared first century Palestine to death. It's radical, life-changing, status quo threatening, revolutionary love. And we have to wonder how long Jesus would last in our society today. How well would his message of revolutionary love be received in our gas-guzzling, environment-destroying, me-first, gated community, tax credits for the rich, market-driven, violence-saturated, entertainment-addicted society? Do you remember several years ago when Tom White, the construction magnate in Boston, was slowly giving his enormous fortune away to help the poor in Haiti and in other places? And do you remember what he said when he was asked why he was doing this? He said, "I'm doing it because I think Jesus would want me to." It's not such a stretch to think Jesus died for love. His death was not a little death. It was the real thing. And if that's right, if he died for love, it was also love that brought him back. There were forces at work in the world, and sadly it seems there always are, that would seek to entomb goodness and freedom and love and generosity and compassion. But the meaning of that empty tomb, the meaning of that rolled away stone, is the victory of the creative force at work in this world for the sake of life. There is, says theologians, a great cosmic struggle that is always taking place between the forces of destruction and the forces of creation. And Easter and Passover celebrate the forces of creation. They are not feel-good, lightweight, G-rated love stories. They are stories that reveal this cosmic struggle in real-life terms. They are stories of flesh and blood people who risked everything to cast their lot with creation's goodness, to cast their lot for freedom over enslavement, for good over evil, for love over hate, and life over death. Easter and Passover are stories of miracles, but not because miraculous, magical things actually happened, seas don't part, and we do not literally come back from the dead. They are miracles because they are proof of love's transformative powers. They are miracles because they prove that despair can give way to hope, and because they teach us that what may seem like the end may in fact just be the beginning. And so it is with us. These little deaths that Carl Scovel talks about are real, and we all have them. We all have our own endings, our own times of waving goodbye before we turn that last corner. And we do it on faith because we can't know for sure what's ahead, but we do it over and over. Often it's a natural life change, something as ordinary and as traumatic as waving goodbye to a friend as the moving van pulls away, or waving goodbye to an almost grown-up child as we leave him or her on campus for the first time, which for all the world feels as if we're paying $30,000 a year to drop them off before a firing squad. Or maybe it's our first morning of kindergarten and it's tears all around. I remember a colleague addressing ministers at a general assembly. He had just retired, and he told us that retirement for him felt a lot like a shot of Demerol as it slowly enters your veins. You could actually hear a long, low, envious collective sigh in the room. But even narcotics eventually wear off, and retirement too, as I said at some length recently, puts us on an unknown path and a road not yet taken. Most of these little deaths involve hard work, some pain, and maybe tough times. Just reading Carl's description of his son walking alone down that long corridor to the plane that would take him so far from home had me in tears as I remembered my own moments of saying goodbye. No one says growth is easy. Maybe it's not, and neither is change, but both are natural. My daughter-in-law, Sarah, who is putting her house on the market this Thursday, tells me she is walking from room to room saying out loud to herself, "Change is good. Change is good." Dying to the old so the new can be born is, as Carl says, all part of the God-given Mother Nature cycle of dying to live. This life to death to life cycle is everywhere, and it is life itself. Spring really is coming. We know it's headed our way, and it's probably somewhere just south of the Jersey Turnpike. And that's fine. It can't come soon enough. But what about real death? Not seasons changing, not little deaths that lead to maturity or growth or moving on, but what about that final end-of-life death? What does Easter say about that? My answer is that Easter says the same thing to us that Jesus says to Tom White. It says, let our lives be small victories for the creative force, so that when our day is done, that charitable deeds or acts of love or good turns may be offered in our memories, not as monuments to who we were, but because the will to cast our lot with the good was passed on. If there is immortality, it must live in the love stories, because death is not the end of love. Love continues, and it is up to us to decide how and where and when to make it manifest. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. So may it be. Amen.